Go talk to the geniuses that are online.
Recorded during the Broncos-Chiefs Monday Night Football game, it's time to Belichick your premises. If you have a friend who you think needs his premises check, tell him about our show. We like that because that's how we get more listeners and that's how this whole thing works. Joining me in our premise checking this week, Daniel T. Richards.
Boy, oh boy, are we going to have to check our own premises when the show starts here. With some, not only are we recording during the Monday Night Football game, we're recording during major news breaking about the Patriots.
Yes, like literally right before we recorded. The only reason I know about this news is I'm watching the Monday Night Football game on Watch ESPN, and it has the other live shows underneath of it, and it has SportsCenter, and part of the SportsCenter splash graphic is Jimmy Garoppolo. So I was like, why is Jimmy Garoppolo being featured on SportsCenter? So then I went to Nesson, and it said that the Patriots have traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers for a 2018 second-round draft pick. And all of this is being sourced back to Adam Schefter at ESPN, who is usually very, very reliable. So this literally broke right before we recorded. Like, I called Daniel, and I was like, have you heard the news? Guess who the Patriots have traded? And he guessed Dion Lewis, Rob Gronkowski, and James White. In anyone's mind.
Right. Because you and I had talked earlier this week about the fact that the Patriots have a glut of running backs and how they might trade one of them away for some defensive player or something.
And if Chris Hogan's really hurt, I mean, what if he like really screwed up his shoulder?
Yeah.
And then we have like two wide receivers.
Exactly. Or, me being the doom and gloom person that I am during the preseason said that basically if Rob Gronkowski gets hurt again, maybe Belichick would trade him. So he was even in my mind before Jimmy Garoppolo. So, and the surprising part, of course, as you said, is it's for a second round draft pick in 2018.
Right. I said that off air.
Yeah, so no immediate help here,
which right? Is crazy. And that's the thing. Like, okay, people out there, if you are not a Patriots fan and you ever wanted Patriots fans to experience angst, here it is right now. Turn up your volume. You're going to hear it. We don't have a backup quarterback. If Tom Brady blows out his knee, it's over. I don't just mean the season is over. I mean the dynasty is over. I mean my entire adult life is over. If Tom Brady blows out his knee, my entire adult life is over. I'm, of course, referring to the fact that he's been the starting quarterback since I've been 18 years old.
Yes. Indeed. Literally, at this point in time, zero backup QBs on the Patriots. This is not hyperbole. Traded away Jacoby Brissett earlier in the year to the Colts for Philip Dorsett, which has been a big... And now trading away Jimmy G for a second-round draft pick. There is no one. The backup quarterback was Julian Edelman, who is out for the season, a blown knee. Blown ACL.
Is the Madden curse really hurting everyone except Tom Brady?
Tom Brady has the Madden bubble around him.
This is either going to go one of two ways.
Okay.
Either Tom Brady literally plays till 50 years old and proves everyone wrong by just winning the Super Bowl single-handedly. Like, we're going to go to the Super Bowl and everyone's going to get hurt. It's going to be like, and Tom Brady coming out on the field here in the second half. Who's he going to throw to?
Oh.
Yeah, in a wheelchair. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or he's going to go down and Belichick's just going to like sign someone random and coach that guy to a Super Bowl. And then suddenly Brady's legacy is going to be in question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I assume they're going to sign a backup quarterback this week. That seems like, they're in the bye week, so they've got some time. seems like they're going to do that. So there will be a backup quarterback. No team is crazy enough to go any amount of time without a backup, period.
Right. So the bye week did fall right at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So the trade deadline is Halloween. So on the East Coast now, you're almost at 9 p.m. So we're about 3 hours away from the trade deadline. Or is the trade deadline end of the day Halloween?
I don't know. I can look.
Okay. Well, it's one of those. And his contract was up at the end of the season. So it does sort of make sense from that perspective, but it just doesn't make sense from the no backup quarterback thing. So I guess maybe what you're saying is it's fortuitous that the trade deadline was on their bye week, because then they could have time to find a backup quarterback.
Yes, indeed. And the deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern on Halloween.
Okay. So, you know, we're less than 24 hours from the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And they could flip this for another player. We don't know what's going to happen right now. You know, the second round pick could go for anything. We have no idea. We don't want to speculate.
Right. It's just all very surprising. And there are a lot of questions to be answered. And a lot of sort of, you know what I'm seeing a lot in the Twitter feed here is the shock-faced emoji. Lots of shock-faced emoji.
Okay. And that's, I'm going to put forward a theory and then we can move on. My theory is somebody is trolling somebody. And what I mean by that is maybe Adam Schefter is trolling everyone by reporting fake news. Maybe somebody's trolling Adam Schefter by giving him fake news. Or maybe Bill Belichick has the same syndrome that I talked about with the Patriots earlier in the season. After that comeback in the Super Bowl, for a while, they could only win by coming back. They just had that mentality. Like, they couldn't play until they were under that pressure. Well, maybe Belichick has made so many ridiculous mid-season shocking trades that he just had to escalate to this point. I mean, isn't this the natural progression from Jamie Collins last season?
The natural progression of a junkie, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
How many people can we trade away and still win the Super Bowl? Yeah.
What if we trade away all our quarterbacks? I mean, I don't know. Like literally... Brady made that commercial about being in the protective bubble to combat the Madden curse. Oh, is that legal? Can we do that during a game?
It is going to be an interesting next few games where every time Tom Brady gets lightly grazed by a defender, everyone in Patriots Nation is going to collectively gasp.
So. Well, you've already made fun of me on the show for every time he makes a bad throw. I'm like, is he done? Is he over? Is that it? Is he old? Like, even when he makes a completion now, I'm going to be like, is that his last completion ever?
That's right. So, not much more we can say on this topic. It's pure speculation at the moment, but things are always interesting in Patriots Nation. Part of the reason I'm a Patriots fan is because Bill Belichick has some things going on that take some time for me to figure out, and that's fun. Frightening at times, but fun.
I mean, at least the AFC is terrible this year. They're terrible.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, the league's pretty terrible, right? I mean, we're speculating at this point that who was it? Was Jim Rome was saying that not the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo is not that good. Was saying that the Saints were going to go to the Super Bowl.
I think that's totally plausible.
Well, totally it is, plausible. But that's the point. That's the point I'm making.
Now that they're unburdened of Adrian Peterson, I think it's totally possible. Yeah. Anyway, it would be interesting to see a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl. I'd be down for that.
Dude, this guy just fucking ran into the kick returner. Like, yeah. I've never seen that before. He just, like, crossbody. It was like a pro wrestling move. Like, does he know Monday Night Raw's on another channel?
He's saying he was pushed into him, but...
It looks like he was pushed into him a little bit, but, like... I don't know, man. Football players, I think they're becoming too much like basketball players where they play it up. I mean, even Gronk was doing this where he plays up when he gets hurt or when he gets hit.
Flopping. Because
it's a flopping because of the officiating this season. I mean, look, this would be a good segue into talking about the game. I have sympathy for the Chargers on that long touchdown they scored when they called offensive PI on them because they did seem to run our defenders into each other. So everyone's complaining, and they're saying 2 weeks in a row, the Patriots have penalties called back, or the Patriots' opponents have touchdowns called back because of penalties. Oh, aren't the Patriots favorites? Which is dropping context. And the context is the refs have been calling this against everyone all season. And because of it, and because it's so arbitrary with the rules now, you get the flopping from the players because that becomes part of the strategy. And it's just not fun to watch.
Yep, I don't like that. I hope it doesn't continue that way. But the whole league, and we didn't talk about this pre-show as a possible topic, but I just want to get your take on this, which is one of the narratives that I'm seeing from the sports media. And
I think the show is better when it's more organic. Okay, that's, well, that's my take on this.
You mean we shouldn't plan? I don't like to plan things. That's fine. We're much better.
I especially
at not
don't
planning.
Like to plan. Yeah, I don't like to plan parenthood.
Yes, exactly. So we'll use a prophylactic here on the show. And so here's the topic, which I've heard a little bit about, and I want to throw it to you because I think it's one thing where there's a narrative going on in terms of an agenda, and then there's a kernel of truth. And so here it is. College football, at least this year, is more entertaining to watch than the NFL. That's the narrative. And without any commentary from me, what do you think about that?
Is Brady old yet? Like, did he get hurt in practice? Like, are we going to be okay?
Who?
You missed the joke. I was making a joke about Tom Brady.
Oh.
I mean, look, it's the same thing with college basketball versus pro basketball, just different, which is a fucking sounds retarded to say, but let me explain myself. College basketball is more fun to watch than pro basketball because of the way they play. They're not as athletic. And they're playing more team ball in that sense. So anyone can win, right? When you go in the NCAA tournament, it's fun to see anyone can win. It's the same thing with college football. Look who lost over the weekend. Two of the top five teams lost. And now all of a sudden, Clemson's back in the top five after they dropped all the way to seven after losing to Syracuse. So it's more fun in that way because anyone can win. But this is where people in our society place this value over unpredictability. Then skill. People want to be shocked. They want to say, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. Oh my God, it wasn't what I predicted. They don't want to see pure dominance, right? It's this idea that in the college football championship game, everyone wanted Clemson to beat Alabama because they were sick of Alabama winning. Why?
Right.
I wanted Clemson to win because I went to Clemson. And obviously, I think very highly of Deshaun Watson and Dabo Sweeney, though there are chinks in his armor coming out this season, has proven to be a very capable head coach, one of the top in college right now. But I love Alabama, and I love watching them because they play well. So it's people putting a higher emphasis on the lack of predictability of the results. And that's because, just like in college basketball, with more teams, the truly elite athletes are spread out. So the result is in question. Whereas in the pros, it's the same teams dominating and the same structures dominating. People have problems with that. The difference between the NBA and the NFL, of course, is the NFL still plays a team game. I was just making the comparison. They haven't gone too far towards the flopping and the showmanship and everything. Although we do see that with the Steelers and their overly ornate celebrations, right? Like making the bench press and everything. Look, I know it's stupid to outlaw them, but at the same time, if you're a coach, get your team under control. There's a big difference between Gronk spiking the football every time he scores and like doing a choreographed, like one guy kneels down on all fours. The other guy acts like he's bench pressing and the other guy acts like he's spotting him. Like if you're spending that much time choreographing celebrations, you're not worried about preparing for the game. That's a whole different topic though. The point is,
yeah.
I think the kernel of truth is the unpredictability and the idea that anyone can win, but it's also the agenda that people are trying to destroy the NFL right now because of politics. It's because, oh, we've decided on the alt-right with Trump that we hate the NFL now, so we're going to do everything we can to destroy it. And it's collectivist identity politics.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. I would say that there's one other tiny kernel of truth, which probably comes out of the predictability thing and the more spread out talent point, but which is that, you know, barring maybe like the Seattle Texans game this week, which was insane, very few games that I've watched have drama to them. A couple of the Patriots games have had drama to them, and maybe just a few others this season, but compare that to more college games that have more drama. And I think that does, the more I think about it, come out of the unpredictability factor. But so
yeah, but that drama is like, can I go? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Sorry. That drama that you're talking about comes from a lack of skill, though, and comes from an immaturity. It's like how I watch Are You the One on MTV, the reality dating show where they put 22 evenly split genders, two genders, in a house, and they say, you know, you all have your perfect match. There are 11 perfect matches. Find them together, and you guys all get a million. If you can all, you know, line up in the matchup ceremony and pick all your perfect matches, you get 11 beams, you get $1 million, you all get to split. And the oldest person in the house, I believe, is 28, but everyone else is 21 to 28. So it's like watching that. Yeah, there's the unpredictability factor. They're fighting, they're arguing, they're getting into unhealthy situations. But that's only entertaining to watch because you're watching them fail and you're watching them make mistakes. There's no drama in that. It's only drama if you are likewise immature. And yeah, maybe I'm calling a huge swath of fans immature, but I think there's plenty of drama in the NFL. Let's look at the Raiders game and the Bills. I don't know if you were watching it, but in the bar, it was on the TV next to the Patriots game. So I was able to basically watch both at the same time, especially because I'm in California. So I've got Raiders fans sitting next to me. So I'm hearing what's going on and I'm talking to them about both games. And what was the score at a point? Were the Bills up 28-7 or I think something like that?
Yeah, it was a pretty dominating performance by the Bills.
Right, they were up by 3 scores at a certain point. But that's the thing, you say it was a dominating performance, but the Raiders could have legitimately won that game if they didn't have stupid turnovers. They lost that game because of 4 turnovers. I'm not taking anything away from the Bills, but when the other team turns over the ball 4 times, you're not getting their best game. And what I mean by that specifically is in the third and fourth quarter, there was drama where the Raiders, if they still executed well, could have come back and won. It was well within their ability. So knowing football and knowing the little things each play rests on, there was drama in those plays where you go, okay, this third down really matters. It's like in the Super Bowl, where I said they got the ball back from the Dante Hightower strip sack of Matt Ryan. And I said, okay, they need to score a touchdown here before 6 minutes. And then they'll have a chance. That's where real drama in football comes in, knowing what has to happen in order for somebody to come back and to win, or just to win the game in general. It's every little play and every down and what matters on every down, not this random shit that happens when people get hurt or make mistakes or things of that nature.
Yeah. No, I got you. It's just an interesting observation that people are making, and part of it is because there's been a critique of the NFL play this year. Part of this comes from the parity of the league this year, but part of it comes from some teams having a slower start than you would expect. The one bit of narrative that I'm thinking of in particular has to do with the Patriots, of course. A Bleacher Report article from today titled, "A Bad Patriots Team Might Still Be Good Enough," and it starts like this, quote, "If they were any other team, we would call the Patriots flukes, frauds, or pretenders. Those are the terms we use for 6-2 teams that barely beat bad teams and win thanks to charitable calls, unforced opponent errors, and weather oddities." End quote. What the fuck? this is sort of coming out of the greater narrative, I think, of the league having not particularly great play, but I mean, we've been critical of the Patriots so far this season in terms of these are the things they need to improve on. You know, they were never going to live up to the hype of the perfect season team, et cetera, but that was all nonsense. But at the same time, does that description of the Patriots winning on barely beating bad teams with charitable calls, unforced opponent errors, and weather oddities, does that ring true to you in what you've observed about the Patriots in reality?
No, this is an offshoot of what you said last episode, last week. If you remember, you talked about, or maybe it was I talked about, but I think it was you, about how everyone always has to make an excuse whenever the Patriots win.
Yeah.
It's always, oh, the Buccaneers missed field goals, or the Jets had a touchdown taken away, or this week, the Chargers had a touchdown taken away. We can never say the Patriots won. So when you have this worldview where you always have to make excuses, your narrative has to get grander and grander to preserve the narrative in your head. That's how conspiracy theories are born. I mean, that's how Deflategate was born. Oh, there's no way Tom Brady and the Patriots could win this much. They must be cheating. And that's how it was born. So that's what happened. So what you're talking about is it's spun off of that. Because what they're forgetting about is how the Patriots originally won their Super Bowls. I've got the posters up above my head here where it says all the scores of all the games in the first three Super Bowls they won. And the margin of victory is usually around 3 points. You've said it before. That's how Belichick coaches football.
Yes. That is something to me that's remarkable that sports media either hasn't caught on to or probably more likely doesn't want to report on. Is that this is a completely different style of football than other teams are using. It's not a style that has to dominate every time. It's a style that has to do what is necessary in order to win the game every single time. And that doesn't mean that they have to win by 50 points. It means they have to win by 1 point. That's what it means. That's their game plan. No more, no less. The end.
Right. Exactly. And then you take what actually happens and you twist that to fit the narrative you had have in your head. So early in the season, the Patriots had a couple bad losses, right? They didn't game plan for Kareem Hunt. Dante Hightower went down in the fourth quarter. They got absolutely decimated by the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, last time they got decimated by the Chiefs in September, they went on to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying correlation is causation. I'm just saying the media overemphasized it at that point, too. Is Brady done? Brady won 2 Super Bowls since they said that. Then they had the really close game against the Panthers. Questionable officiating. Not great play on their part. Blown coverages. And they only lose by a field goal at the end. Now, the defense is doing really well. The last 3 games, they haven't given up more than 20 points. So they're doing extremely well. But then, of course, the narrative is going to be, oh, they're not that good because they're not playing that good of teams. They're not playing that good of offenses. That's why they're not giving up that many points. But this is where the show name comes in. Belichick, your premises. What does Belichick say? It's what I was just saying about college versus pro football. These are all pro football players. These are all pro football teams. They're all good.
Right. I mean, other than the Browns. But they're all good. Yeah. 31 teams are great. I mean, good. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Browns fans.
See, you're being facetious, but that's what people are going to say, that Belichick's only saying that to not give the other team message board material, as they say. Oh, don't give the Patriots message board material by disrespecting them. It's not just about the other team's psychology. It's about your own psychology. You have to treat every team as if they're that good. This is why we see teams always want to beat the best team, but then not win the rest of their games. Let's go back to college football as an example and the immaturity and the psychology. If Syracuse beat Clemson, who are the defending national champions and are still being projected to be one of the top 4 teams in the playoffs this year, why can't Syracuse win every other game and have a shot to be in the playoff too? Because they only play with that level of intensity and that mental acuity against Clemson, because that's the only game they get up for.
Right. Right, right, right. And the other element there, too, is that the Patriots then have to play teams every single week who are getting up for that game. Teams who are saying, we could make a statement this year, even if we have a losing season, simply by beating the Patriots.
Right, that's the common thread there.
And
right?
The difference being that, Dave Damashek, famous Pittsburgh Steeler fan and sports podcaster, pointed out that Mike Tomlin, in his years of coaching, I think until last year, had a losing record against teams with a losing record. Think about that for a moment. The Steelers were beating great teams and then losing to terrible teams. That, to me, is a psychology thing and a bad coaching thing. So.
Right, it's 100%. It's why they can't get up for the Patriots either.
Yeah.
Specifically with the Steelers. But, you know, the common thread is the inverse. You're saying the inverse of what I was saying is certain teams have teams they play that's their Super Bowl and they always play well. Beating the Patriots is some team's Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then they win that game and they fade away. It's that Syracuse beating Clemson, that was their entire season. So all the Cuse fans can say, oh, you know, we beat Clemson this year, especially if Clemson goes on to win the national title game. I mean, last year they lost to Pittsburgh. Clemson lost to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh gets to say, hey, we're the only team that beat the national champion that year. Which, yeah. You know, I get it. That feels good. Not everyone can win the national title. Not everyone can be the best team ever. But that's not how you become the best team ever.
Right. By the way, Kansas City just tried a trick play in the red zone. Trick play, where they pass it to their running back, and the running back threw a pass into the end zone, and it was intercepted by the Broncos. So, nicely done there, Kansas City.
Is that what that was? Because I saw like a fat dude catch it, and I was like, oh, wow. Did the Broncos finally score a touchdown by doing a trick play and throwing it to an offensive lineman?
Nope, Kareem Hunt threw an interception. That's what happened.
Okay. As I've said, I don't know if I've said this on the show. I think I might have last week. Kareem Hunt is not that good. People are starting to figure that out. It looks like Kansas City is still trying to hold on to that.
Yeah. Anyway, lots of strange narratives this week. Lots of strangeness with Jimmy G. Maybe it's a Halloween thing. Maybe this will all go
away. All I know is
my
text messages are blowing up right now. I literally just got two texts in a row from a Patriots fan. The two texts. First one, what the fuck in all caps. The second one, what the fuck in all caps.
Mm-hmm. That's about the only analysis that this requires at this point.
The problem is this guy who texted me, always during the games, he's Chicken Little, this guy is falling. I'm like, calm down. It's okay. It's okay. But now how do I say that to him now? It's like, yeah, you're right on this one.
That's right. Well, let's see who they sign as a backup. I forget his name. Let's bring back
Colin
Favre.
Kaepernick?
Let's bring back Favre.
You know, Pro Football Talk, NBC, the guy already tweeted, so the Patriots are going to sign Kaepernick now, right? Can you imagine?
I can't. We don't like to speculate on this show, and I don't think this is real speculation, which is why I'm allowing it. What the actual fuck would you do if they signed Kaepernick as a backup QB?
Oh, I'd laugh. It would be the most hysterical thing in the entire fucking world.
You'd watch? You'd continue to watch?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, I'd watch. I don't give a fuck. I think this is what I think they should do. I think they should sign Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow and have them fight in practice to see who should be the backup quarterback. That's what I think they should do.
They should have them fight over who gets to kneel harder.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so much in common between the two. Or just have them both. Can we do that? Can we have them be a split quarterback?
A nickelback? Oh, wait. That is a thing. Never mind. Okay.
So who do you... Let's do this. Reach out to us. Where can people reach you, Daniel, to tell us who they think should be the Patriots' backup quarterback, Colin Kaepernick or Tim Tebow? Where can they reach you to talk
you
about
that?
You
can reach me on the Twitters at Daniel T. Richards. I'll be there for you to answer the call and to laugh and cry along with you about this Jimmy G trade. So there you go.
And I'll just laugh and say, I don't care. And if you really want to talk to me about it, we can commiserate and figure out a way to give Brady bionic knees that never get hurt. You can reach me on all of the social medias at the Midside, all of them. Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. Also, if you liked a lot of the commentary here, check out our flagship show, Welcome to the Midside. If you found this show on iTunes, you're already in the feed, so just click on one of those other episodes that are the blank edition. Any of those are the main show. Otherwise, you can find it on themidside.com/podcast. Thanks for checking in with us this week. For now, we're on to, well, it's the bye week, so I guess we're on to just like worrying about Tom Brady.
My face, your face, instant face, go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff.